Hi there. Are you ready for some good news? Well, I know I am. So let's talk about it on Book, Chapter, and Verse.
Wonderful words of life. Beautiful words. Wonderful words.
Wonderful words of life.
Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse. And I'm Jeff Archie. I appreciate you joining me today for a study of God's Word as we open the Bible and we look at book, chapter, and verse. And we look at the wonderful words that God has granted unto us so we can know His will for our lives. Please stay with me, for at the end of the broadcast, I'll share with you some material and things that you may would like to have to further your study of the Word of God in the privacy of your own home. So thank you again for joining me today on Book, Chapter, and Verse. And our book, chapter, and verse today we wish to consider is Romans, the first chapter, verses 16 and 17. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17 is a passage that is quite familiar to us, to where Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." What a great reminder of the only message that saves. Please note what our text says, "unto salvation to everyone who believes." To the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul told them, "In whom you also, having heard the word of truth," the gospel of your salvation. So the gospel is also known as the word of truth. The gospel is a true message, and the gospel is made known by words that we may understand. It brings to mind the beautiful text of Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, where in Mark's account of the Great Commission, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." If we fail to believe the gospel, what a tragedy, because the gospel is indeed good news. Now, we know verse 16 pretty well. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But sometimes we miss reading through verse 17 because Paul uses a phrase, "for therein," meaning for, turn back, for and because of the gospel. Therein the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. No place else would the righteousness of God be revealed than in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So with righteousness revealed through the gospel, the word of truth, what are some things that we see with the gospel? And if I see these things, then I can embrace the good news, the gospel of Christ. And good news is always better than bad news. Good news refreshes us. Good news lifts us. Good news gives us hope. Let's think about the good news, the gospel of Christ, and the righteousness that is revealed within. First of all, I see that with the good news, the gospel, the word of truth, there is a place to stand. Notice Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." There is boldness there. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of it. I know it is good news, and I'm going to hold to it." The gospel gives us a place wherein to stand. Why, one book later, one letter later, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Obedience to the gospel of Christ gives us a place wherein to stand. Listen to some other scriptures and some other points about the blessing that the Christian has in that place wherein he or she will stand. According to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5, we're able to stand in the power of God. We're able, through our obedience to the gospel, to stand in God's power. The Word, the truth, the righteousness of God revealed unto us, I should say, gives us power and strength wherein to stand. It keeps us going. That's why later in that same letter of 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul said to stand fast in the faith. That idea of standing fast or solid, it's like when you set concrete. You know, concrete is mixed, and it is to set, if you will, fast, or meaning it's going to blend together and be very tight. And when concrete is tight, it's able to support any weight that comes upon it. If we stand fast in the faith, then we're tight in the faith because of that good news, and we have a place wherein to stand. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13, Paul gives us warning about standing against the wiles of the devil. Whenever I see that phrase, wiles of the devil, I am reminded as a boy of a cartoon that I love to watch called The Roadrunner. And of course, his nemesis was the coyote who could never catch him. And that coyote, do you remember his name? His first name was Wile. W-I-L-E, and his middle name was the initial, or rather his middle was an initial, E, Y-L-E, Coyote. Of course, it was a play on words, but it reflected that the coyote was wily. In other words, he tried to use everything to capture that roadrunner. When the devil has the wiles of the devil, he's going to seek out the spot that can trip us up. And if he can work on us, he can capture us. But let us always be like the roadrunner and be a step ahead, shall we say? And we can do that through the gospel that gives the obedient Christian a place to stand, a solid stand, and to be able. So, kind friend, let me ask you, do you have that place to stand, that sure footing, and quite simply, have you obeyed the gospel of which we are speaking? Are you standing in the gospel of Christ? Let us recall that parable of the wise man and the foolish man in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. That if we hear the sayings of the Lord and do them, he'll liken us unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And when the storms of life came, because his house was on a sure, solid footing, he was able to withstand the storms. And if we will but do what God commands through the gospel, then we ourselves will have a place wherein to stand, a solid footing, and we'll be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil when he comes after us. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed through the gospel, and we have a place to stand. Now consider with me second from our book chapter and verse of Romans 1, 16 and 17, not only a place to stand, but a power source to rely. And notice in Romans 1, 16, the gospel, the good news, is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power source in which we connect when we obey that gospel. The word power here is an interesting word in the original language, the Greek language. We know the Bible was translated from the Greek language into the English, which we have today. But that word power is from a word that in that original language, it's a word, dunamis. It's spelled D-U-N-A-M-I-S, dunamis. And you've probably guessed by now, we probably, and we do, get the word dynamite from that word. The word dunamis, translated power, means that it is so powerful, it makes a great effect. You know, dynamite is an effective tool. We know that. You know, dynamite, so much dynamite can be set in order to blow up or bring down what needs to be, and it's always decided how much is needed. But it's powerful and effective to get the job done. For example, I remember as a boy in Nashville, Tennessee, I remember when they were going to tear down one of the long-standing buildings. Now, I can't recall which building it was, but I remember they showed it on television. They went in and they watered it all down thoroughly so as to settle the dust. And then they put the dynamite in the right places, and when they hit the charge, the building just came down into a heap. Well, they used the power of that dynamite. It was powerful. And with it being powerful, it brought that building down, and they had the amount of dynamite sufficient for the job. So think of this. Dynamite will tear down, but the purpose was to use that area for a more profitable thing. Now, I cannot recall if it was used for parking to help with growth or a new building to meet the needs of people. I cannot recall that at the moment. But think about what the gospel does and its power. It's very similar. It's able to, if you will, blow out sin. It's able to blow sin out of a person's life, but yet allows a person to rebuild something newer and better. I like that thought. It is the only message powerful enough to change a man spiritually. The power that Jesus used in giving the Great Commission. Before he gave the Great Commission, he said, "All power is given unto me in both heaven and in earth." All power. I have all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go and teach. He was declared to be the Son of God with power, Romans 1 verse 4. So the powerful Christ is able to give us power through His Word. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24 reminds us how the preaching of the cross is power. When we're able to preach the cross of Christ, the good news, it's the power to eliminate the sin in our lives. Listen to Paul in Philippians 3 and verse 10. As a Christian, he said, "that I may know Him," referring to Christ, "and the power of His resurrection." Paul said, "Let me know of His power. I know Him, I'm obedient to Him, but remind me of the power that I am able to plug into." Power that changes, light to darkness. It's the light or the power, if you will, that destroys sin and we can build our lives back, and it's a power that continues to keep us going with a place to stand. One last thing about power. You know, power is there and available. For example, through our house, there's a number of outlets. And if I plug in something, I'm expecting the power to come through that outlet into whatever I'm going to use. So I have to plug in to the source. So many times, we find it a little humorous when something's not working, we may ask somebody, "I'm not being funny, but did you plug it in?" And there have been the occasions somebody would say, "Well, I guess that would help," and they have failed to plug it in. They failed to plug into the source, and I've been there, and chances are you have too. But we failed to plug into the source. My friend, the gospel is there. Don't fail to plug into the gospel. But you and I have to make that move. Let's look further at our book, chapter, and verse of Romans 1, 16 and 17, and notice this with me. Not only a place to stand and power to receive, but it's a place to walk. There's a path that I can walk, and it's to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul said, this gospel message is for everyone. Now, please notice that this does not say believeth only. That the gospel does not say we are to believe it only or just only have faith in the gospel. You know, those in the gospel of John chapter 12 and verse 42, the Bible tells us that those chief rulers, that also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they be thrown out of the synagogue. Their belief did not move them to confess Christ and to follow him. As we've noted, the devils believe, and yet they tremble in James 2 and verse 19. So when we talk about belief, what's the great pattern? If it's not belief only, then you might think, well, what are you saying? Well, think about the obedience of Abraham. Abraham moved and did what God commanded him to do. And it's interesting that in James chapter 2 and verse 22, the Bible says that faith wrought with his works, or his response, was made perfect. In other words, God lifted up Abraham because of his faith, but it was the works of his faith. So many times we think about salvation and people say, okay, then this is a belief of a salvation by works. If we believed in a salvation by works, have you ever stopped to think we would probably eliminate the gospel and the grace of Christ? Salvation by works allows you and I to understand that it's the works of our faith by which we are saved. Now think with me on that for a moment. Faith should be a saving faith, but how is it expressed? It is expressed through the works or the obedience or what we do on that faith, just like with Abraham. He moved and did what God said, and his faith was made perfect with his works. So the gospel message, when believed, will prompt one to obedience, and that belief makes sure that we are lacking nothing. There's a new path in which we walk, and we're not going to miss anything. Think about the obedient souls in the New Testament, those that obeyed the good news, the gospel. Think about how their belief prompted them to obey. On Pentecost, they believed, but they still asked men and brethren, what shall we do in Acts 2:37? Then Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ, for the remission of sins. It's interesting that Saul was told to go back to Damascus and pray. And he would be told what to do. And Ananias went to him and instructed him what to do. No doubt Paul believed. He called Jesus Lord on that road to Damascus. But when he went back into the city, Ananias instructed him further. What happened? Saul's faith moved him onward. The eunuch was learning and believed, and his faith moved him onward. The household of Cornelius, after all, he was commanded to believe with all of his heart or to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and he would be saved, he and his household. But yet we note that Peter then brought unto him words of what he should do. So in these illustrations, these examples rather, they were not commanded to believe only. You and I see a matter of repentance, a matter of confession, a matter of baptism. You see, that's the beauty of the gospel message. The beauty of the gospel message when we embrace it all gives us a place to stand, gives us power that we can strengthen ourselves, and a path in which to walk. You put all that together, how great is the good news of salvation, and how great indeed is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love to think on this passage even more because as I now come to verse 17, and I'm reminded once again that therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. God's righteousness is revealed through the gospel. So when I see that it is the Word, the gospel, the Word of truth, the gospel, and in it righteousness is revealed, then I'm able to understand everything God has granted to me about this good news. Now, just by way of a brief review to kind of bring it all together, if we have a place wherein to stand, then we're able to stand solidly on that rock of Christ, that He is the Son of God. He is the only foundation, and there's none other, according to 1 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11. So if I'm obedient to the gospel, then I know I have a place wherein to stand. When the storms of life come upon me, I'm able to face them with the faith of Christ. And I'm able to withstand when they come. And through that power, through that prayer, I have a place to stand. And then I have that power that's available. As mentioned, just like the outlet of which we would plug into, you and I have to keep ourselves plugged in to the power of that gospel. I mentioned 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2 moments ago. You know, Paul told them further that they were saved by the gospel if they continued in the gospel. If they continue to keep plugging in while they stand, they had the power to keep going. And then when we think about a path in which we are able to travel, it's just beautiful how that's laid out. We have a place wherein to walk as we keep going onward. A place to stand solidly, power to help us be stronger, and that path that we are able to continue therein to help us move onward and upward for our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that power. We have that strength. We have the things that are needed in order for you and I to continue onward. So here's what I would encourage you, kind friend. If the storms of life and trouble and strife and problems are just seen to get you down, what have you done with the gospel message? That's good news that will help you have a place to stand. Now, problems are still going to arise, but we're going to be able to make it through because we've got power in which to plug. Power of prayer, power of His Word, power of Christ in us, power of God. Power of the Spirit through His Word, the Spirit that makes intercession for us. We're able to accomplish greater things and to stand in battle of those things that would take us down. And then we have a path in which to walk. Yes, we may be dealing with those things. They may be something that will continue to be upon us. You know, in 2 Corinthians 12, 7, Paul had his thorn in the flesh, but God provided him the grace needed to deal with it. So my friends, let's back up and start with self. Embrace the good news by obeying that gospel of Christ, believing it, following as those on Pentecost did by repenting, the confession of the eunuch, you believe Jesus is the Son of God, and then as in every avenue of conversion, they were baptized into Christ, washing away those sins, Acts 22, 16, removing those sins, and then able to walk for Jesus Christ, faithful, a place then to stand, power to have, and a path to walk. Let's enjoy this hymn together.
shore, like sands upon the great seashore. Father of mercies, God of love, whose gentle gift all creatures share, the rolling seasons as they move proclaim to all thy constant care, proclaim to all thy constant care.
I hope you enjoyed the study about the gospel of Christ. The gospel, the good news that shows righteousness has been revealed. Join me next time on Book, Chapter, and Verse.
Wonderful words, yes, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.